There's a big difference between a robot and a computer. Mostly, robots have bodies. They move around.
R2-D2, where are you?
But they're also defined as doing the work of humans, for us humans. And by that measure, the Voyager computer program is a powerful robot. Voyager composes music, improvised, unpredictable music using a virtual 64-piece orchestra. It creates music that we'd like to think only humans can make. Ted Pankin asked Voyager's inventor, George Lewis, about improvising with a robotic partner.
Well, what do computers sound like? I mean, like... Everyone's machine expresses their aesthetic view.
George Lewis is a professor of music at the University of California, San Diego. He's a 2002 MacArthur Genius Grant awardee and a jazz and new music trombonist of phenomenal inventiveness.
My notion of sound comes more from Charlie Parker, that is to say, music is, you know, your thoughts, your wisdom. If you don't live it, it won't come out of your horn. And so sound becomes very personal.
Imagine a 64-piece orchestra in which every member can play every instrument. Imagine that this orchestra, responding as one, can engage in spontaneous musical conversation with the soloist.
The idea, always to be able to place improvisers, that is to say humans, in an interactive space with computers and to have a sense of dialogue between them.
George Lewis imagined and created Voyager, a software program that improvises music. The computer listens to a musician partner, the musician listens to the computer. Both respond instantaneously. Two different beings coexist in the same space, engaging in what electronic composer David Behrman calls interspecies small talk. Lewis is a native of Chicago's South Side, with a degree in philosophy from Yale. He gestated his musical ideas in the 1970s with a hugely influential Chicago collective called the Association for the Advancement of Creative Musicians. The AACM preached multi-instrumentalism, so members could express multiple voices and realize an orchestral range of timbres and textures within a given piece. And as Lewis developed his style through the 70s, he set new standards on the trombone with band leaders as diverse as Anthony Braxton, Count Basie, and Gil Evans. In creating Voyager, Lewis incorporated his entire musical experience.
Basically, Voyager is quite Cartesian, just like the trombone is. Trombone, you have the x-axis, that's your slide going out and in, and the y-axis, that's the lips playing pitches up and down. So that's basically the same way Voyager works. Let's say the x-axis are a set of 64 individual voices or positions. Then the y-axis are the sets of things that it can do in terms of playing music, and what gets built up is a set of features that represent what's going on outside at any given time, and the system uses that representation to compose a response.
Lewis encountered interactive computer music on a visit to Mills College in 1978. Musicians there were tweaking home-built circuits to create real-time sounds to use in performance. He bought a $250 microcomputer and within 18 months had mastered fourth machine language. His first piece for computer and cello was Chamber Music for Humans and Non-Humans. Composer Robert Rowe co-directs the music technology program at New York University. Rowe met Lewis in the early 1980s when both were at ERCOM, the prestigious electronic music institute in Paris run by Pierre Boulez.
George was already working on improvising computers and doing work that made a major impact on a lot of us because he was able to get machines that would work in real time and improvise with people and be very musical doing it. I don't know that I'd ever heard anybody doing that before, and it was very original and important work, I think.
Computers can be commanded to improvise Mozart-like melodies and then on a command switch over to Bach. But Lewis was looking for something different. He wanted less control, more of an equal partner in performance.
So it's really a compositional problem of thinking about a process that will be unpredictable yet still recognizably itself. You're composing a process rather than a texture. You're making a texture maker rather than the texture itself.
Voyager has a pretty strongly typed aesthetic. There's, you know, the question of multi-dominance, which means that there are a lot of things happening at the same time, and so there are many different foregrounds kind of that are vying for attention, and they're not necessarily in any kind of arithmetic correlation rhythmically. They can be very diverse, and the groupings can change all the time, so that you have these rapid changes in timbre, you have multiple meters going on, multiple keys, multiple tonalities. There's just a lot of information there.
A lot of information. But as jazz musicians like to ask, does Voyager tell a story?
Well, if it does, it probably tells a different story every time. But it's hard to say that there's a single narrative. I think there are momentary developments. It might get on some jag for a while and then follow it up to some sort of logically, seemingly logical conclusion and then change and move ahead to something else. That seems to be embedded into it. And the idea of it being non-hierarchical is extremely important. I treat the computers, at least mine, the same as I treat everybody else. I don't want to be in charge, and I don't want anyone else to be in charge. Voyager is mainly about empathy in terms of the critical space that the work presents to an audience. I'm encouraging people to empathize with the computer and to connect the computer's experience with an experience they might have themselves.
For Studio 360, I'm Ted Pankin.